Let's turn again to God's Word this evening, and we're going to read in John's Gospel, if you have a Bible, the fourth Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. I hope that you can follow my Irish accent, and I'll try and read as distinctly and clearly and slowly as possible so that you can follow the sense of the reading. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That word really means that darkness was not able to hold back the light. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lights every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood. In the context, that means the blood of sacrifices, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We ask God to bless, as He has promised, the public reading of His Word. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for the Gospel which has gone forth already. We give thanks for the Word of God which we have read together. We give thanks that it speaks so clearly of the person who is Thine eternal Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray that the Word of God might penetrate the heart and mind and understanding of a soul even tonight, and there might be that illumination in the darkness of a heart that the evil one would love to increase, that it might be pushed back by the light of the Spirit of God, and there might be a soul born of God tonight. Bless in what we say upon the passage, to the glory of the Lord Jesus, in His name. Amen. If I was looking for another expression from the Word of God to put as a title across the verses, we didn't read them all, but the paragraph that we have read together that opens John's Gospel, I would probably quote something that Brother Dave already has said. He quoted it from Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. Christ Jesus came into this world. That means that He pre-existed before He came. It means He came from somewhere else to our world. It means He came for a divine purpose. And the phrase in Paul's letter to Timothy gives us the answer. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What we have to do this evening in this meeting is identify ourselves with the sinners that Jesus came to save. Paul, the greatest of the apostles, the writer of half of our New Testament, what did he say? What was his little codicil to that comment? he said, of whom I'm the chief. When it comes to human things being forward in relation to preachers and preachings, we were thinking about that this morning, weren't we? Put us invisible behind Christ. But Paul said, when it comes to ranking sinners, put me top of the list. As bad as it gets. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. That's the gospel, you know. It's actually as simple as that. There is no sinner anywhere on planet Earth. The wickedest person that you could think of today in the news, and there are many. The prisoner on death row looking towards a point of execution that he hopes maybe even someone will get a stay on, but knowing that he faces death. There's not one single person alive today on planet Earth that Christ Jesus did not come into the world to save. That's the scope. You've been hearing that, of the glory of the gospel message. What I want to do just now for a few seconds, I want to impress this upon your mind by the Spirit of God. I want to lift six words out of what we have read together. In actual fact, it is three little couplets, so that even a young person tonight can take them home with them and remember them. Three little couplets, two words that join together, but they contrast. And another two, and they join together, but they contrast. And another two, and they join together, and they contrast. And all of them joined together gives the harmony of the truth of the gospel. In the beginning was the Word. You say, I don't really understand that, because what does it mean when it says in the beginning was the Word? Does that not refer to something that somebody spoke? Yes, it does. Because what we have there in John chapter 1 and verse number 1 summarizes the whole of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. That every single thing that can be seen, including that which is viewed through telescopes, the expanding outer limits of this universe that we cannot even find, and every single person that ever lived, they were made by the spoken word of God. That's amazing, isn't it? It has often been said, I've heard it said in conversation, I agree with it, in a strange kind of way, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. I've got a son-in-law back home in Ireland. He works in the police. He got a new boss just recently. His new boss was probing and questioning him what kind of church that he went to, because he does go to church and he takes a stand as a Christian in his work. And his new boss was asking him about his faith and what he believed and what he didn't. And so he confessed Jesus Christ as his Savior in his workplace. He wasn't brought up a Christian. He wasn't even brought up in a Christian home. He only got saved as a mature man, in fact, after he had met our daughter. Such a thing to rejoice in. And you know, after his boss had asked him questions, then he said, well, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you go to church? And she was a lady, quite a high up ranking person in the police force in Ireland. She said, no, I don't go to church. He said, what do you believe? Well, she said, I used to be an atheist. I used to believe in evolution. Oh, he said, you used to be an atheist and you used to believe in evolution. Well, he said, what's changed? No, she said, I have decided that everything did not come from nothing. Well, he said, that's good, because everything did not come from nothing. The Bible makes it very clear that everything came from something and someone. and the someone was God the Son. So he said, you don't believe in evolution, you don't believe that everything came from nothing. He said, let me ask you, do you believe in God? She said, no. Now he said, I'm confused. She said, I'm willing to believe that something made everything, but I'm not ready to believe it was God. That's solemn, isn't it? I think there are an increasing number of people in our world today, and they're questioning the false theory of evolution. But they're not willing to acknowledge that it was the voice and the finger of God. Because if we acknowledge God at the start, we have to acknowledge God at the end. That's the problem, isn't it? It's accountability. We are accountable to God tonight, those of us who are saved and those of us who are not, because he made us and we belong to him. And this word, is actually a title. It's not even just describing what God the Son did at creation when he spoke worlds into existence. It's more than that. It actually is a title of Jesus Christ himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so the other word that I want to connect with that word, is the word life. Every single thing in this world that has life, right down even to plant life, it all came from the spoken word of God. There is one exception, isn't there? There is something that was made that was not made just by the spoken word of God. Oh, you say, now you've confused me again, preacher. Let me make it simple. The thing that was made, that was not made only by the spoken word of God, was mankind, you and I. You say, what's the difference? Let me tell you. The Bible makes it very clear, God formed. Man from the dust of the ground, he had made the dust from nothing. And from the dust of the ground, he made the body of our foreparent Adam. And then God not only created, God not only formed, but here's an amazing thing, God breathed. God breathed into Adam life. Life that came from God. And man became a living being, body, soul, and spirit. To live forever in harmony with God, that was God's intention. Never to die. To be immortal. Never to lose fellowship with God. To have life with God. Life from God. To be in God's presence forever. That was what God intended when God made man. I hope if you're following the story and comparing things to ourselves today, I hope your response to that is what went wrong. Because it's not like that today. Nobody is immortal. Nobody, as far as human life is concerned, is going to live forever. 110, maybe. 115 or 16, you hear about the record being broken, and then you hear about somebody else again. They live to be 117 or 118, and sometimes there's even a question mark over their birth certificate and when they were born, so nobody's too sure. And it can be very short at the other end. In my family, I had a little brother, he lived for 2 hours. Death has been passed as a condemnation upon all of Adam's children. Why? Because of sin.
And none of us in that sense, as natural people, live in that immediate presence of fellowship with God. Why?
Because of sin.
You see, Adam began in perfect conditions, in a perfect environment, perfectly formed by the hand of God. In an environment which was created for him by the spoken word of God.
And so the word created life.
And then we have another expression in the passage that we have read together in verse number 4. Not only is life connected with the word, but light
is connected with the word. And the word that sits in contrast against light, of course, even the children could answer that one, is darkness. You know, there's nothing as dark as real darkness. I was telling a funny story the other day in somebody's house about my wife and I. We were staying in an unfamiliar house with friends. And the bedroom we were staying in had three doors to get out. Well, only one got out, because the other one went into a little bathroom and the other went into a closet. But all three doors were the same. And all three handles were the same, and two of the doors were very close together. You know, I got up one night in the middle of the night to go and get a drink down in the kitchen. You know what happened? I went into the closet. It got even darker again. The darkness was complete and total and entire, and I got totally and completely confused. Maybe I'm speaking to a younger person tonight. Yes, the story can be funny in a sense, sitting here in the light.
I can remember situations in my life as a child when I was frightened in the darkness. Going into my mother's bedroom and climbing up onto the bed and not able to put into words the fear in my heart, just a fear of the darkness. A fear of not feeling safe. A fear of not being protected. A fear of not knowing that anybody was there to look after me and watch out for me and take care of me. And what did I really need most? I needed light. Can we bring from the word of God this evening, right in the very first night of this little campaign, the truth of the glory of the light that shines from the face of Jesus Christ? There is no light that will lead a person one step towards heaven except the light that comes from Jesus Christ. The light shined in the darkness. Oh, what an amazing gospel, what an amazing statement. The darkness of this world, the darkness that sin brought into this world, the darkness that Satan maintains in this world, the darkness that Satan wanted to push against the coming of the light. The darkness increased when Jesus Christ himself came into the world in flesh, because the devil wanted him destroyed, that he might not even be the Savior. And all the way through, from the promise given in Genesis chapter number 3, that seed of the woman would come to be the Savior who would crush the head of Satan the serpent. Oh, that's an amazing subject all by itself. That there must be one who would come all the way through from seed of the woman, the fallen one who had rebelled, that she would become, in the grace of God, nothing special about herself, no. She was just an ordinary virgin girl from Nazareth in Galilee. But she became the mother of my Lord, the mother of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That light might shine in darkness, and darkness might not be able to stop the light shining. That's the reality of the verse. And every single person who's saved tonight. Maybe before we're finished, maybe Dave will tell the whole story of his conversion. Maybe I'll tell mine.
We'll see. Every single person who's saved tonight, they'll tell you about a moment. Oh, I agree with what's been said already. You might not have the date on the calendar. That's not important. The moment in time when the darkness in your heart disappeared. The confusion in your mind was banished. And the simple reality dawned upon your soul. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ has shined. And all I have to do is believe and trust and follow him. There is nothing greater than, like the simplicity of a child being led into increasing light, because we are, you know. The more we read of the Word of God, the more we understand the light. The more we appreciate the glory of the majesty, of the grandeur, of all the glory and light that there will be in heaven, what a place that must be. If those of us who are saved have seen a little bit by the Spirit of God of the light of Jesus Christ shining in our heart, what must the glory of the light of heaven be where Jesus Christ himself is sitting on the throne of God? The light shined in darkness, and the darkness was not able to push back against the light. I wonder, is there one person in the room tonight? It's good to see everyone that's here. Good to see visitors who have come. I wonder, is there one person in the room tonight, and in your own spirit you're pushing back against the light? There are people here, and they would confess that they did before they trusted Christ. I didn't get saved the first time I sat in a gospel meeting. My grandmother did, but I didn't. But there are people sitting in the room tonight, I can't identify, I can't point the finger. You know the gospel. I'm just asking this question. Have you been pushing back against the light? Resisting with your own will. Some Sunday. Some day. Some Sunday school. Some sermon. Some time. When I have done this and that. Before I die. When will that be? Before things are finished at an end. Once I've satisfied myself, then I've put things right with God. But meanwhile, let me push back against the shining of the light of the Spirit of God. Let me finish quickly now with the last little pair, the Word. The Word gave life, spiritual life as well. The light that shined in darkness, and it still does. And here's maybe the most amazing little pair of them all. Verse number 14, the Word was made flesh. That's incredible, isn't it? That should give us all time to pause, and those of us who are saved to give God thanks, the mystery and majesty of the Incarnation, the Word. That's the same person. That's the one who's spoken about in verse number 1. That is God the Son, the God of creation, the God who spoke everything into existence, the one who had always been there with the Father forever in the past, but at a point in time at creation in Genesis chapter 1, made all things together in harmony by the word of his power. That word. At an appointed time to fulfill the promise of God in Genesis 3, that word became flesh in a body. You see why? Let me answer that question very reverently. Because when it came to salvation for sinners, when it came to some of the big words that our meeting began with, redemption and substitution, and maybe words you don't understand, when it came to a sacrifice that must take the place of sinners who were guilty because of their sin, the spoken word of God was not enough. It was needful that God the Son would come into time and come into flesh, that in a body he might willingly and voluntarily go to Calvary and die for sinners. That's where I started. That's where I finish. Christ Jesus came down from heaven's throne with the Father's full permission into this world 20 centuries ago to go to Calvary and to willingly give his life upon the cross to save sinners, of whom I might be the chief. But 55 years ago, in my experience, I confessed that I was a sinner and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wish that you would do that tonight as well.